you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Friend, if you are in Christ, you're a brand new creation. The old has gone, and the new is here. Let's celebrate that today. How are ya? So good to be spending some time with you. Boy, we're ready to go into a church sermon here. It's Joey with you. Happy Thursday. This, of course, April the 10th, 2014. It's the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, and I'm the friends part. Always enjoy our time together each and every Thursday, and the weather seems like it's getting more springy, I guess. I was talking with some family up north in Chicago just yesterday and the day before, and it's still chilly out. It's just up there in Chicago. It's still kind of old man winter just hanging around. So all I have to say is just let it stay up there and not come down here. Amen. So good to hang out with you today. Of course, the first Thursday in May, of course, it's the National Day of Prayer. Lots of neat little stuff happening here for the National Day of Prayer. Special event in Rantoul on the old Air Force Base at the Linden Banquet Center in Rantoul. Doors open at 6 for breakfast. The program starts at 6:30, and everything is done by 7:30, so you can head off to work or take care of any of your responsibilities. Our very own Mark Burns will be the special guest speaker. And rumor has it they're going to have like a full breakfast, like biscuits, eggs, gravy, bacon, sausage, links and sausage patties, cinnamon sticks, all of that good stuff, juices, coffee. Oh, praise the Lord. I think I need to go have some breakfast there. Everything gets underway 6 a.m. May 1st, Thursday, National Day of Prayer in Rantoul. The cost is $9. And get more details on that by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. There's another event happening in Urbana that same day, Thursday, May the 1st, 7 p.m. Our friends at the Vineyard Church in Urbana will be having a day of prayer. That night, 7 p.m., Vineyard Church, of course, is in Urbana, 1500 North Lincoln Avenue. There's going to be music by the Singing Men of GNN. They're going to be there. That's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event as well. And the 2014 Champaign County National Day of Prayer All-County High School Choir is going to be performing as well. So this is going to be a great opportunity to come together, sing our praises to the Lord, pray, and just celebrate that there's a national holiday entitled National Day of Prayer. We get to celebrate that right there at the Vineyard Church, 1500 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. The Singing Men of GNN, of course, going to be headlining that event with some of that special music that night. So if you want more information on this or any other events happening right here in our own backyard, just take a look again at our website, the event calendar page, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Or, hey, if you are maybe a church ministry, or if you have a special announcement or event happening, let us know. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to get it on the website and maybe even on the air as well. You can send that information to Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Again, that's Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, our devotion for today, we're going to be taking a look at some of the events within the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to be taking a look at Jesus' prayer and how the disciples, how they responded. They were sleeping. So we'll take a look at that study today from the book of Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark. So we'll be taking a look at the Garden of Gethsemane right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, beaming on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, beaming on the everlasting arms. Beaming, beaming, safe and secure from all alarm. Beaming, beaming, beaming on the everlasting arms.
right. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Fred's right here on Great News Radio. Fred, how you doing? It's Joey spending some time here with you. And I grew up in Chicago. And growing up in Chicago, we had this garden. My mom had this garden where she had lots of different fruits and vegetables. And she planted just for me a section or a portion of the garden for strawberries. And I love strawberries. So good. Delicious. So I would go out a couple of times a week and check on the strawberries to see if they were ready to be picked or not. And I would even pick them and eat them even if they weren't even ready yet. You ever try white strawberries? Yeah. Really sour. So, I mean, I'll never forget that garden. Really. You know, today's focus is on another garden. And Mark chapter 14 shares the story of Jesus in the garden right before he was about to get arrested. In Mark 14:32, it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I'll pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. And going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said. Now, Abba, Father, it can be translated to like an intimate calling upon your father, like daddy or pawpaw, just the intimate. So Jesus said, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. You know, in Mark chapter 14, we just read here, we see one of the most vulnerable moments in the life of Jesus. Remember, he was 100% man and 100% God. I can't fully understand that or fully explain it. All I know is true because the Bible says. So he was distressed. He was troubled. He was in anguish. He was overwhelmed with sorrow. And in fact, Luke's account, now all four gospels covers this, but Luke's account says his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, the intense anguish and sorrow Jesus felt was certainly understandable. Being God, he knew all that was going to happen to him. He knew in painstaking detail the events that would soon follow after he was betrayed by his very own people. Have you ever been betrayed or stabbed in the back of someone you thought you trusted? He knew he was about to undergo several trials where all the witnesses against him would do nothing but lie against him. Have you ever had anybody just lie to your face or lie about you publicly? He knew that many who hailed him as the Messiah only days earlier would now be screaming for his crucifixion. He knew that he would be flogged nearly to the point of death before they pounded the metal spikes into his flesh. He knew the prophetic words of Isaiah spoken centuries earlier that he would be beaten so badly that he would be disfigured beyond that of any man and beyond human likeness. He was just a piece of meat hanging on a cross. Now, certainly these things factored into his anguish. But in my opinion, I think the biggest of all, In my opinion, was the separation that he was going to experience from his father. You ever go to God and say, God, take this cup. I don't want to deal with this season. I don't want to deal with this situation. God, just take it. I'm going to cast my... Have you ever been like that? I know I have. Let it pass, God. And I think that's okay for us to say and pray, God, I don't want to deal with this. Or you're just being real with God to the point where you're being respectable, of course, respectable. But do we ask what Jesus asked in verse 36? He said, not what I will, but what you will. And he did this more than once, too. He prayed to God the Father more than once. In fact, in verse 37, it says that he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. When he needed them the most, what were they doing sleeping? Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, I always wondered why he called out Peter's name. Because in verse 33, it says that he took Peter, James, and John with him. But why did he call out Peter's name? Last I checked, just hours before at the dinner, Peter stood up boldly and said, Lord, I will die for you. I will do this for you. I will do that for you. I will do this, that, and that, and then some. While all of these can do what they may do, they may run away, they may chicken out, but I will stand up for you. I will die. I will go to prison for you. And now when Jesus needed him the most, what was he doing? Sleeping. And it says in verse 9, once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of the sinner. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. You know, we often say, Lord, I'm tired of this season. Take this from me. But do we say what Jesus said? Yet not what I will, but you will. Jesus chose to do the will of the Father. Did you hear that? He chose to do the will of the Father. And, you know, and it just so happens that generations before, that there was another man in another garden who was faced with the same decision, same choice. Adam and Eve, Adam mainly, had the choice to either do his will or the will of the Father. And sadly, he chose to do his own thing. And don't you dare say, shame on you, Adam, because you and I both know you and I would have done the same thing. Sadly, Adam had the same choice, had the same options in a different garden. He was a different man, but he had the same options. Either he was going to do the will of his Father, or he was going to do the will of his own heart. But he chose to do his own thing. But praise God. Say praise God. Come on, say it. Say praise God. But praise God, you and I, Christian, have hope today because Jesus chose to do the will of the Father. And you know what, friend? Every day, you and I are in the garden. If we're doing this Christian journey, we're in the garden and we're faced with the choice to either do our own thing or to do the will of the Father. So today, maybe you're starting your day off. Maybe you're ending it. Maybe this is a brand new week for you and your day starts today. Whatever day, whatever time it is for you today and right now, you have a choice to make. From this day forward, the next step you take, will you go forth doing the will of your Father or doing your own thing? Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, whoever wants to follow me must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You can either build your own kingdom or you can build God's. It's your choice. Make the right one today. Oh.
Savior, I come to
Alan Asbury, and I need thee. Well, friend, thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you today here on this Thursday, April the 10th, 2014. You can always catch up with me. My email address is joey@greatnewsradio.org, J-O-E-Y @greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up tomorrow, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until then, remember that you are salt and you are light. And you are the hands and feet of Jesus.